Hello and welcome to The Nerd Alternative, a sweet melting pot of all things nerdy. I'm Ram and this is Ram's Rambles, a series where I document the books, games and films that feed my art, soul and thoughts. This series isn't about reviewing art and assigning subjective ratings, but as someone who loves to understand why certain stories work for me and the lessons they leave me with, I hope you'll join me as I explore some of the art I can't stop rambling about. Let's get into it. Children should be seen and not heard is an old English proverb dating back to the 15th century. And whilst this small quippy phrase isn't something people say as often as they might have back then, its effect is something that can still be seen across many cultures today. Despite the rise of social media and the increasing visibility of young people's voices and opinions, it can still feel as though tangible power is something only accessible to proper adults. We live in a time where some countries are being governed by men in their 80s who are out of touch with their young voters, and life-changing referendums are heavily swayed by an aging population who might not even live to see its consequences. It is therefore no surprise that young people, particularly newly emerged adults and teenagers, can feel hopeless and powerless, turning to nihilism and dark humor as a coping mechanism for the fast-changing world around them. Persona 5 Royal is a game that serves as an antithesis to that depressing landscape and instead offers both hope and motivation to young people who are tired of rotten adults and their games. Developed by P Studios and published by Atlus, Persona 5 Royal is an expanded version of the original game, which was released in 2016. It is the sixth iteration of the Persona series and the latest one to date. The game follows protagonist Joker and the friends he makes along the way whilst they navigate different injustices being perpetrated by the adults around them. Don't let the anime aesthetic fool you. This story explores some pretty dark themes, many of which specifically address scandals and systemic issues within Japan. This ranges from teachers who sexually and physically abuse their students all the way to government corruption. I want to keep these games spoiler-free, so I won't be giving too much away about the story. But one of my favorite things about this game's story is the way it builds the stakes from the ground up. The story begins with an act of heroism from Joker, one teenager standing up to one person. Though Joker's attempt to save a woman from being harassed backfires on him and he ends up being expelled and having to move to Tokyo, this one act builds up from saving a single person to saving an entire country over the course of the game. Throughout the story, Joker is joined by the lovable cast of Morgana, Ryuji, Anne, Yasuke, Makoto, Futaba, Haru, Kasumi, and Goro, as well as other supporting confidants like the ever-charming Sejiro, who is Joker's guardian. Most of the game's antagonists are tied to each of the characters in some way, often representing an adult who has used their power to take advantage of a young person. The power they exert corrupts their worldview, leading them to develop palaces in the metaverse where they live out their sick fantasies. It is here in these palaces that Joker and his friends make changes in the real world happen, stealing treasure as phantom thieves in order to force the rotten adults to take accountability and repent for their actions. And though this is where the combat takes place, the moments that stood out for me were those in the real world. Take the character of Yasuke. Because of the way the world is set up, children are often programmed into thinking that adults are always right. This is doubly so when you take into consideration how pervasive filial piety is within certain cultures. As someone who gets exploited by his benefactor and adoptive father, Yasuke is unable to even consider that Madarame might be taking advantage of him, and even goes as far as being antagonistic towards Joker and his crew when they first try to reveal how Madarame has been plagiarizing from other young talented artists, including Yasuke himself. It's only after some introspection that Yasuke starts to realize the truth and embarks on a journey of self-discovery and finding out who he is as an artist. Yasuke made me think a lot about the dialogue between your inner child and external self. His inner child held so many conflicting emotions, grateful to his mentor for taking him in, but equally wanting to be seen, wanting his artwork to be recognized as a product of his craft. It's beautiful to see him grapple with this as the story progresses, finding a way to resolve the complicated nature of his relationship with Madarame, but also finding a way to free his inner child and let his creativity flow through without any burden. I could wax lyrical all day, as every party member is as layered as this. Each one struggling with an individual dilemma, and despite everything, finding a way to improve themselves and move forward. Playing as Joker, you get to witness each of these developments unfold, and it's impressive how much emotional depth there is with an ensemble that big. Even amongst the most moustache-twirling villains, there was real weight. Much of this weight likely stems from the fact that some of the themes in the game are real-life societal issues in Japan. I'd really recommend the brilliant Lady Vigilia, who does some really detailed breakdowns on YouTube on how the characters in Persona 5 Royal relate to Japanese society. Overall, the story is both a homing beacon and a call to action at the same time. Through its characters and themes, it asks us to stand up and step up in all the little and big ways we can. After all, if the system doesn't work for us, then why should we break ourselves to work for it? So when it comes to the gameplay, I'm not the fastest gamer in the world, so you can imagine how daunting it was to finally play Persona 5 Royal, a game that takes 102 hours minimum just to beat the main story. Being my first JRPG, and the only other turn-based game I'd played outside of Pokemon, it took a little while to adjust to the gameplay mechanic. As someone who often defers to button mashing when in a bind, I was in for a shock. There was an art and tactical approach to each and every battle, which I learned the very hard way after spending about 3 hours trying to beat the second boss after running out of every ability within my full party member and every item. However, once I got the hang of it, there was great satisfaction in utilizing the correct persona for every confrontation and being selective about which abilities I chose to learn and which I would ditch when it came time for an upgrade. Now, I can't lie. There are a few personas that I had to keep on deck for no reason other than the fact that I liked the way they looked. But there were also those that I couldn't bring myself to create no matter how much I wanted to 100% my persona library. Look at Mara, at your own risk, and don't say I didn't warn you. So many games have the audacity to call themselves RPGs, but Persona 5 Royal is one that really leans into the role-playing element and gives the fans what they want. Choosing how to spend your time upping your skills, developing relationships with your allies, and most importantly, picking who to romance was both an enjoyable and stressful experience, which I think is exactly the right balance to keep gameplay outside of combat dynamic. Did I spend the first 20 hours of my playthrough only working on my skills and neglecting my teammates? Yes. But you know what? I still got the platinum, so... Surprisingly, I never found the game overwhelming, and though it did take me about 3 months and a total 149 hours to beat and obtain my beloved platinum, it was always mostly engaging. Admittedly, some of the latter bosses felt tedious to fight, but I think that was in part due to the sheer length of the game and just the nature of the genre. I'm glad to have opened last year with a game genre I'd never played before, and Persona 5 Royal couldn't have been a better choice to start with. I find that some games shift my mindset in certain ways that should seem obvious but aren't. So, in a similar way that Breath of the Wild made me re-examine my perfectionism and helped me embrace the fact that failure leads to growth, Persona 5 Royal made me appreciate that sometimes in life, you just need to pause. It's easy to get paralyzed when there are so many options, when the system towers over you, seemingly permanent and immutable. It makes you think you're alone, when in reality, we have communities around us to help us bring it down. In reality, we don't have to do it all right here, right now. If you just take a breath, take stock of the experiences you have and the loved ones that surround you, one small step is all it takes to move one bit closer to a better future. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Nerd Alternative. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a rating and a review. You can find more of us on Twitter at The Nerd Alternative without the E after the N, Instagram and TikTok at The Nerd Alternative, as well as our YouTube channel. Peace out until next time.